How is everyone this morning? Good. You sound good. It's good. I was really hoping, Pastor Yvette, on a side note, you wouldn't bring up what happened with me with that thing. That was what you call an epic fail. I didn't have a good morning. I won't go into the details, but yeah, praise the Lord. It's not easy, is it? Who actually does try and actively evangelize people? Anyone? Yeah, good. You're my heroes. It's not easy, is it? But, you know, the Holy Spirit gives us boldness, amen? So I think we just maybe need to rely on Him a bit more. Today what I want to talk about is a subject I think is misunderstood a fair bit. Or maybe not misunderstood, but we're not all on the same page about it. And so it's my great pleasure to talk about this morning because it's a subject very dear to my heart. And that is, why do we sing on Sunday morning? Why do we sing on Sunday morning? Worship. Yeah, no, fantastic. Who can tell me why human beings were created? Worship God. Fantastic. More specifically, though. Relationship. Yeah, it was part of it. Why don't we turn in our Bibles to Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And this may seem like a bit of a strange place to start, but you'll get it in a minute. Okay. So God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and everything creeping that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And He blessed them, and He said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish of the seas, over all the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now, to talk about worship on a Sunday morning in one go is pretty difficult, to be honest with you. So we're not going to encompass everything. And I've got to be honest with you, right here in these three verses, there's about, I don't know how many sermons. It's incredible. Like, think about this. Why were we made? What God made us in His image. And so I think, I have a funny thought about that. Does God look like me? Not like me, probably better looking, but does He have arms, legs, face? But we're made in His image. And I mean, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Your image. And that word likeness as well. So it's not only His image, but He made us like Him. And what was His first command to mankind? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over everything. So when He created mankind, He created something that was in His image, in His likeness, for the purpose of governing His creation. I've been reading this book by A.W. Tozer and another book by Dutch Sheets, and they both, like where I'm up to, they both talk about this. And on Wednesday, my mind was just like, about that. It's crazy, don't you think, that God made us in His image and His likeness, the pinnacle of creation, so that when creation looked at mankind, they were supposed to see the physical representation of God. And He left us in charge. And He made us as His ambassadors to creation, as His governors, as His managers. Crazy, isn't it? It may seem like a strange place to start for why do we sing on a Sunday morning. And there's a million places you could go with this, but what I want to talk about today is when He's left us in charge of His creation, He's given us a delegated authority, hasn't He? If you're in charge of something, you have an authority. What you say goes, is that not right? To manage means to bring order. That's our job. So, Proverbs 18:21. says this. Death and life are in the tongue. And those who love it eat its fruit. So God made us in his image and in his likeness. And what did God do when he created? He spoke and the world was created. He spoke and the sun and moon were in the sky. He spoke and the sea was full of fish. You get where I'm going with this. And it says in his word that the death and life are in the power of our tongue. And I think that that means more than just I can encourage you or I can discourage you with what I say. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because anybody who's ever spoken to something without a face or without ears and said sickness or pain, get out in Jesus' name. You're not welcome. And has seen a body physically change, manifest. What was unwell now becomes well. What was sore and inflamed is now healed. Knows that you have a creative force in your mouth. Amen? So God made us in his image and his likeness. As as humans, our first function, the first command he gave us before the fall, before anything, to represent God in creation and look after the planet. You know, when you think about that, it's, you know, Jesus warns us in Matthew 12 about be careful with the words you speak. You have to give an account for every idle word you speak. It's pretty crazy when you think about it, isn't it? That you have the words in your mouth, the delegated authority to change things. So we should be careful with what we say, hey. But anyway, this is why we started here, because this is how we partner with God. Why do we sing on a Sunday morning? And I chose the word sing over worship on purpose, by the way, because worship is, it encompasses a lot of things. You know, it's not strictly worshiping on Sunday. It is worshiping, but singing. I believe that singing on Sunday morning does something. It restores divine order in creation. I do. I believe it's serious. I think what happens is when we take up our position as managers of creation, as those who govern and who will fight to protect creation, which God made us for in the first place, and we use the tools that God gave us, the creative force in our mouth to declare truths and to put God back on the throne of the universe, divine order is restored. Amen? So God is here. We are here, putting him there. And then everything else, every circumstance, every principality, every false truth that would exalt itself has to be underneath that. Amen? And, you know, the thing is, when we declare these things on Sunday mornings, when we sing, think about the songs that we sing. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be shaken. You wear the victor's crown. You have overcome. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. Our God is healer. We sing these things. We declare these things. And you know what? We don't just declare them to ourselves. We don't just declare them to each other in this room or anyone walking past or in earshot. We declare them to all of creation. We literally declare them to all of creation. Do you believe that God hears your singing? You do. Let me tell you that it's not just God who hears your singing, but all of creation hears your singing. The very grass of that field hears your singing. I hope I haven't lost anyone saying that, but I believe it. I believe that all creation hears your singing. Hears the truth. And so when divine order is put into place, when we as humans created a little lower than God, can we go back to Psalm 8, please? I just want to read that. Psalm 8, 3. I just want to read this. I forgot to go there. Psalm 8, 3 onwards. David sings this. When I look at the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? So David's got this thing where he's just like looking around and he's going, man, look at this sunset. Look at the patterns on these butterflies. Look at the amazing strength of horses or you know what I mean? Like he's looking at creation and just being blown away by it. And he goes, what am I that you would even be mindful of me? And then he goes on to say this, yet you've made man little lower than heavenly beings and you've crowned him with the glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and you've put all things under his feet. It blows my mind, hey. You know, have you ever thought, oh, I'm only human? What an erroneous thought. What a bad thought. What a silly thought. Yeah, so we declare truth, both the seen and unseen. It's important. Yeah, the singing is important. I want to say that in this church, I've been here for a while now, and we go through seasons with our worship. I don't know if you've noticed. If you've been here for a while, you might have done. We have times when the worship is like, this is why we come for. This is why we're here. We want to praise and we want to worship. Who's ever been here during one of those seasons? Yeah, we've all been there for one of those seasons. And we believe this, what I'm telling you today. This is like a refresher course maybe for some people. We believe this. And can I be real with you for a second? I've been real about me. Can I be real? I see One Church Perth at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, half full. And I see by about 10 to 10, we fill up. And I'm not telling anyone off here, but what I'm saying is, you know what I notice? Is that we don't believe this anymore. Hey, is that fair to say? Is that we don't fully believe that when we get here, we are actually going to war. That we're declaring things to heaven, to principalities and powers, rulers, to all of creation. Because otherwise, if you knew that was the case, wouldn't we all be here at like, 9:25, like, you know, getting ready for some limbering up for praising, you know? Is this real, hey? So Ephesians 3:10, this is like my favorite verse ever. It's a strange one to be my favorite verse, but it's just one that changed the way I think. Ephesians 3:10. Are we all there? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I'll read that in a bit more context. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That's an awesome job. That's our job, church. That the manifold wisdom of God may be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Do you ever like... This is going to be a difficult thing to talk about now because of... But do you ever wake up in the morning and maybe you read the newspaper or you listen to the radio or watch sunrise if you start late like me? Tradesmen say no way. But have you ever just pay attention to what's going on around the place and just think, the world's gone mad? Whoever thinks that? I think this on a regular basis. And, I listen to decisions politicians make. I listen to, the way that the media commentates certain, events, and I've got to be careful what I'm talking about here, but, you know, there's just things that are happening all around us, and I don't need to use examples, do you? You know, the world has gone mad. And we tolerate everything. Tolerance is king, isn't it, these days? It's like, we want you to tolerate everyone doing everything they want to do, unless you're speaking common sense or if you're a Christian, in which case we're intolerant of you. But the thing that gets me about it is we see these things. And I'll use TV shows for an example. There's TV shows called Farmer Wants a Wife, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Wife Swap. Hey? Married at First Sight. I mean, when I think of that, I just go, oh, God, have mercy. The world's gone nuts. The world has gone nuts. How have we got to a point in society where this is okay, where this makes sense, where this is something that's fine? Like, why don't we put two and two together that we see that this is a representation of our attitude towards marriage and relationships, using them as an example? And why don't we see that our attitudes towards these things is what's causing the breakdown of the family unit and you know, the high divorce rates and things like that? Why is it that we want you, that the society wants you to be tolerant of everything and everyone's choices unless you speak common sense? If you do this, this will happen. Get out. It's true, isn't it? Have I lost people? Do you agree with me? It's true. The world's gone mad. The world has gone mad. And I want to ask you, why do you think that is? I think it's because of deception. Because there are voices speaking on loads of platforms saying 100 different things that are not the truth. And they're just sowing confusion. You know, like, if you want an opinion on something, that's fine. Everyone who's alive has got a different one. And you're just left in the sea of what is right and what is wrong. Deception, man. The world lives under it, big time. So how do we fight it, though? It's our job. We're created to be the managers. We're created to govern. We're created to look after and have dominion, take responsibility for the earth. How do we fight it? Is it through well-reasoned arguments? Have you ever watched Q&A? Let me tell you something. Well-reasoned arguments don't work. They get shouted down. It's true, hey. I'm yet to see anyone win an argument with faith by talking to someone or over Facebook or anything like that. Normally, the two parties end up just more entrenched in their original position. Doesn't matter how many good points. So how do we fight it? Anyone, how do we fight it? Shout it out. Prayer. Someone said truth. Bang on. Love. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 5, 3 to 5. It says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So if we are God's managers on this earth, if we are made in His image and His likeness, and when we are restored by Jesus Christ, we have authority from heaven. Not only can we speak the truth, we have a responsibility to speak the truth to creation. Amen. We have a responsibility to see truth. This is the way I understand it. God said what? Be fruitful and multiply, spread out across the earth. So it doesn't matter to me if you're from England, if you're from Germany, if you're from Samoa, wherever you're from, you're here, aren't you? Through some form of immigration or event, you are in Merewa. And where we're from doesn't necessarily really matter because we're all human beings, isn't it? And we all, no matter what we look like, have the responsibility that God gave us. So here's my theory. If you live in Merewa and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have a mandate. If deception is running rampant in Merewa, it's because our mouths are shut and the truth is silent. Would you agree with me? Because we decide. We decide what comes in and what goes out spiritually. I mean, is it just me or did Jesus die on the cross and have victory over Satan? He did, didn't he? He did, didn't he? So that means that if I'm a Christian, if I'm a little Christ, if he said that what I bind on earth is bound in heaven and what I loose in heaven is loosed on earth, does that not mean that what comes out of my mouth matters? Why do we sing on Sunday morning? It matters. It restores divine order. It restores, well, it's warfare, and it's healing too. But see, here's the thing is that, you know, we have this thing about being missional minded. And it's all good. About like what I just said before, is that if we have in our hearts this missional mindset, but we haven't first dealt with the rulers and the principalities in the heavenly places, like I say, the deception is so thick that it's... Talking to people about Jesus is completely foreign, isn't it? Talking about morality is completely foreign. There's this quote in the book I'm reading at the moment by Dutch Sheets. It says this. It says, you can do more than pray once you've prayed. But you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. Pretty hectic, eh? So when we go to sing on Sunday, we're going to war. And so it's not okay to have your hands in your pockets and your mouth shut. Sorry, but it's not. This is what we're here for, church. This is what we're here for. I mean, you know, different places around the world, even from side to side of us, they put the more emphasis on the Eucharist maybe or the Word maybe or whatever it is, and that's fine. But this is the understanding we have, and this is our assignment, and this is what we do. Who wants to see Merewa saved? I think we all do. Why would you be here otherwise? So when we sing on Sunday, we're going to war. The last thing, and I won't talk for too much longer, the last thing is, it's healing. It's healing. You see, we all have a level of dysfunction that we brought across from when before we were saved. Hey, everyone except me. Not really. I do have some. Some. Did you just say prayer ministry? Yeah. All right, fair enough. No, we do, don't we? We all have a level of dysfunction that we brought across before we were saved. Things that we believe, the deception that we bought into. Maybe we've even, dare I say, picked some up since we've been saved. Who knows? This, I don't know about you, but I've tried to fix myself a million different ways. There are, if you were to hang out with me for a week, like every second you'd go, man, like, are you sure you're a Christian? And that's what I think sometimes to myself. And I think, thank God that it's, you know, there's Jesus working on me because, you know, if you knew all my thoughts, and you know, we're all in the same boat. But here's the thing. I've tried lists. I've tried plans. I've tried actioning things. I've tried every morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this to fix myself. And you know what works? None of that. The biggest breakthrough I've ever had in being sanctified and being more Christ-like in my living is a new revelation of the love of God. That is the only thing. And yeah, sure, you get that through different things. But as much as it's warfare, it's also hospital time. when you come in here, and you know, this thing I was talking about before about positioning, we put God back up here. How many times do we pull God off the throne during the week, you reckon? Never? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had an unexpected bill come in, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. It's not the song we sing anymore. We go, oh, am I going to pay for this? And then it occupies your mind. Guess what? You just took God off the throne and put the bill there. Or anything. You know what? Sometimes before I preach, I put preaching on the throne. I'm like, because, you know, any big assignment, anything you have to do that's big, sometimes you sort of go, yeah, God, I'll get to you. I've got to do this first. I've got to pay this bill. I've got to sort myself out. I've got to. I'll get to you. And we do it. And when we praise God, hopefully what happens is when you come in here, you can sort of go, okay, I'm going to leave all that there for a minute, and I'm going to put God back on the throne of the universe. I'm going to declare the truths about him. I'm going to declare what's true about him. Even if it's just my mouth saying it, my heart will catch up. I believe it. I believe in the presence of God there is healing. As a matter of fact, I've seen it. We had a word years ago now, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but we had this word about the worship team having a new sound, and there was going to be healing and deliverance and salvation during the times of worship. And I remember hearing it the first time thinking, what the heck, you need an altar call for that. And this was a long time ago. Didn't understand it very well. But we've seen it here in One Church Perth, haven't we? We've seen where the presence of God comes. Someone has a word of knowledge and healing happens and deliverance happens and salvations have happened during the worship. You know, there's nothing better for your soul, for healing, than surrendering to God. We know this. We know this, don't we? So why do we sing on Sunday morning? We restore divine order to creation. Might not seem like that, but it's the truth. We do. We go to war. We decide what the truth is in Merriwa. We decide whether deception stays or goes. And we spend time in hospital, in God's presence. So I don't really want to say much more than that. I hope you guys are encouraged. I hope you guys are ready to praise and to worship and come at 9:30 next week. 9:25 so you can limber up. So we get a praise pit going down the front here. Can I get the worship team to come back up, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your revelation and thank you for what you created us for. Thank you for the amazing assignment that you've given us, for just the glory and the honor that you bestow on us through, you know, through the trust that you have in us, even though we blow it off and your son comes and fixes us. Lord God, we just want to take up our mantle now as the managers of this earth and use the creative force that you've given us. And we pray, Lord, let the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable to you. Please move among us, Father God. Pray, Lord, for your presence to be so tangible that there would be testimonies of healing and deliverance and salvation, Father God. So, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We want to position our hearts to say, You're welcome. We don't want to hide anything from you. We don't want to say, we'll get to that later. We'll get to you later, God. We want to say, please come. Minister. Do in our spirit what our minds can't understand. We know we need your healing. We need your presence so desperately, Father God. Help us, Lord, to learn never to take you off the throne all week. Let our mouths constantly be filled with praise. Help us, Lord, to understand our assignment. Help us to understand our role as managers, as governors, as people who have the say about what happens here. As we go out and we talk to people about you, Father God, we want to go out in a way where their minds are ready, where the scales are removed from their eyes, where their necks aren't stiff, where their hearts aren't calloused, Father God, from deception and rebellion. We want to stop the tide, Father God, of society going the wrong way, moving further and further and further away from you, Lord. We want that. We want to stop that, Lord. You are our only hope. We put you back on the throne. And as representatives of you and creation, we want to sing and we want to lift our voices. We don't want to be silent. We don't want to shirk our responsibilities, Father God.